like with oil in Iraq, pipeline in Afghanistan. Indians and Mexicans brought out the cavalry, 'cause they were in the way of manifest destiny. Guatemala had bananas, Somalia has oil, Venezuela has democracy that we wanna spoil. Cuba has cigars and rum, Filipino sugar cane. Colombia had the isthmus and some kilos of cocaine. But now our enemies are treasonous. They tell the truth and that's serious. It's adversity, it's mockery, it's insurgency, hostility, but mostly White House sociopathology. Daniel Ellsberg was once the most dangerous man for telling the truth about the war in Vietnam. And Bradley Manning's murder footage was too graphic of U.S. conduct, clearly sociopathic. It's supposed to blow and everybody should be knowing about corruption, the waste and abuse. Transparency is treasonous, democracy is dangerous. It's a crime to tell the truth. Edward Snowden told us all what we already knew, that the NSA is taking notes on everything we do. Is it worse that they are spying or covering up with lying with their files on where we go and with who? It's all a solo and everybody should be knowing about corruption, waste and abuse. Transparency is treasonous, democracy is dangerous. It's a crime to tell the truth. Kiriakou fingered Brennan for torture in Guantanamo. Tom Drake, the NSA, for $1 billion a dough. Jeffrey Sterling, CIA, sabotaging nuclear blueprints to Iran, they were passing. It's close to blowing, everybody should be knowing about corruption, the waste and the abuse. Transparency is treasonous, democracy is dangerous. It's a crime to tell the truth. I was on the road in Buffalo on my way to Canada to go to a gig in Detroit. Seems they had me in a file as long as a quarter mile about the songs I sing and every joint. They took my passport, put my truck in detention, and submitted me to interrogation. I escaped captivity, now only outlaws will be free, living outside the law, get outside of this nation. It's whistleblowing, everybody should be knowing about corruption, the waste and abuse. Transparency is treasonous, civil liberties are dangerous. It's a crime to tell the truth. It's a crime to tell the truth.
And I want to thank Tom Nielsen for that wonderful introduction song, It's a Crime to Tell the Truth. As many of you listeners know, I begin every program with music, and it's because I think music is so very, very important in building any type of social movement. And, well, let me say welcome to Lives in the Balance, Sheet, Blog Talk Radio, on the Progressive News Network. I'm New Jersey Dave, and I'm excited because tonight's program will feature special guest Professor Louis. And then we'll be joined by People for a New Society, who will talk about what it means to be working class in a capitalist economy, and how our lives would be different if we lived in a cooperative society based upon an economic democracy. Next week, I hope to welcome Dr. Jill Stein, the president of the Green Shadow Cabinet, who will join us to discuss women's censorship in the United States. And also joining that program will be Deb Huber, president of New Jersey Now. And I expect a caller or two with questions or comments, and it promises to be an interesting show. Tonight's special guest on the program is Louis the Professor, also known as the People's Rapper. The late Pete Seeger called Louis a genius, and I'm sure you'll agree. His latest CD is called Class. And the professor takes us to school on what it means to be working class. Joining us, following playing of Working Class, will be co-founders of People for a New Society. And they'll also talk about working class in a capitalist economy, kill or be killed, and how life for the 99% would be radically improved if instead we lived in a cooperative economic democracy. Our special guest, Professor Louis, is a spoken word performer, a political rapper, whose style evolved from a 1960s radical theater group called the Pageant Players. I heard Louis the Professor last month at an event held at the Rutgers University Labor Education Center. I picked up his CD Class, and I've been hooked since. He raps about white privilege and racism, sexism, poverty, and what it means to be working class. And we will hear track one from Class in a few moments. I'll tell you, I've worn that track out. Professor, welcome to the program.
Hi, Ed.
Thanks so much for joining us today. I've just been listening to your music. I'm telling you, I am hooked on this. It resonates with me. The movement needs you. And I'm curious, what inspired you to perform, you know, the hard-hitting political material that you do?
I've been involved for a long time, and the first thing I did was something called the Free Southern Theater. I was working in the Freedom House in Vicksburg, Mississippi, and I was down there for about a year, Mississippi and Louisiana, and these guys came through Vicksburg to put on a show called the Free Southern Theater. And at that time, I wanted to stay down there for a while, and I didn't really have the money to stay because we were self-supporting, you know, volunteers who came down from Brooklyn, you know. So
What year was that, Lou?
That was 1965.
Wow.
So, you know, the Free Southern Theater was pretty quality stuff. I just saw friend of mine from the theater, Roscoe Orman, who he's Gordon on Sesame Street, and Gilbert from the theater, put on plays, directed plays at Lincoln Center, and John O'Neill is still doing stuff in New Orleans. That was my first involvement, and it was like I was a performer already, but these guys had the idea of bringing stuff directly to the people and to the people who needed it, people who were in motion trying to change the world around them, and people who were regular people, not necessarily intellectuals or radicals, but people who were made radical by their circumstances, which should be true for all working people, but it's not always.
You must have done a lot of reading, because your material, it just conjures up such vivid images, and you just don't, you're not born with that. You must have done a lot of reading. You must have, who were your influences?
Oh, well, I don't know, man. I'm not sure that I do a lot of reading. I think I do a lot of looking, you know. I think one of the aspects of life around us is people are looking a lot at their TV or reading stuff that comes in on their smartphone or their computer, and not looking enough at the reality that's around them. Although, you know, I mean, I read, there's no question about it. But I would say that one of the things that we see in the Aragona case and and the speeches made by people like Rudolph Giuliani or the president of the Policemen's Benevolent Association. What they're saying really is, you should believe me, and you shouldn't believe your own eyes. You know, there's a
That's
joke.
A song on your latest CD, My Own Eyes.
Yeah, it's true. You know, you got to believe what you see with your own eyes, and we see a world that looks a certain way. You know, and that's the reality that people see. You see the world of the people who own the corporations, and you see the people of the world who work. And I think that's the heaviest reality that people need to see. Although reading about it can help you analyze it, that's for sure.
Who are your best audiences?
Poor people.
So that's just about everybody.
Well, yeah, more and more. That's true. You're right. That's right.
You know, I have friends who do a lot of, you know, for want of a better word, I'm going to call it progressive music. It's really radical music, but it's safe to call it progressive. They've lost business. They've lost endorsements. They've lost gigs because of the material that they do. Have you experienced that?
Well, I don't know if I got close enough to the endorsement of anything to lose it. But I would say that there is a certain reality out here. You see it in the cultural pages, you know, if you look at your New York Times, which is not that different from the New York Daily News, except, you know, it's different in the, it has more complex sentences, you know. But I would say that in a cultural world, whatever that is, you know, the more bigger culture, the more specific cultural world, you know, art and stuff. We know culture is much deeper than that. Culture is the way people talk and relate. But in their judgment of things, when there's a movie out that shows something very clearly and conveys something that the filmmaker thinks is important to convey, they usually say it's, what is the word they use? You know, they say it's didactic, right? Or it's overly preachy or something like that. When in reality, I think probably the great cultural works of all time have a real moral consciousness, you know? Shakespeare knows that Macbeth is a bad guy, you know? He knows that he's driven by ambition and power hunger. You know, he knows that. So you could talk all you want about, you know, art that's preachy or something, and you could want, you know, forever to fill up the Museum of Modern Art with paintings that are just a red circle on a black canvas, and it leaves out that moral consciousness that people have. You know, even Dante's got a moral conscience, you know. The whole thing is about what his conception of right and wrong, even if he brings in all kinds of wild things into it, like heaven and hell, which,
You have a song. I'm hesitant to call them a song. I don't know what to call them. But
I don't
you
know.
Have a, if you have a piece, it's called God. But it has periods after the G and the O and the D. Does God stand for anything else other than what we perceive it to?
Well, you know, it depends, you know. God is like a big-time word that people use for all kinds of things. And I guess the God in that song is what we call the traditional God of the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims. And the God they all three of them kill each other over, even though they say he's the same God. You know, an old guy with an old white in America, an old white guy with a beard, and that's the main subject of that song, because that kind of idea has got people into a lot of trouble. Plus, it has people killing each other all over the world, actually. And it doesn't leave out. I felt like I needed to put in a place for the idea that people need a connection to the larger things around us, to the forces that we feel inside of us, the parts that make us feel like it's good to do the right thing, the parts that make us human, the parts that are connection with nature. You know, all of that stuff is very essential to being human, and it's part of everybody's culture, no matter whether they're one of those three religions or whether they're, you know, people from some little group out in the Amazon who have their own ideas of what goes on. And I think that connection to who you are and your place in nature is very important. But, you know, the idea of God and the church, especially organized religion, coming into the whole thing doesn't seem to be doing very much good in the world today. I mean, I'll say right off that I think there's people who are standard religious believers who are good people. There's no doubt about it. And maybe in a lot of people, religion plays a real positive role in their lives. And I think maybe the you know, one of the crucial parts is, are you tolerant enough? You know, can you
right.
believe in what you? Yeah, can you believe in what you believe in? Which is fine, as long as you don't think you need to kill somebody else who believes something different. And you know, that's one of the weak points of the big time religions out here, because we see people killing each other over it, not just among the three between the three major religions, but even among the sects among them, you know, the Sunnis and the Shiites. And right here in Brooklyn, you know, the Lubavitchers don't like the Satmars, and I don't think any of them like the Babas. And these are all ultra-Orthodox Jews, but they, you know, they have very narrow views of what it means to be a believer and what it means to be a good person.
But we're going to hear now what it means to be working class. And when we come back, we're going to introduce a couple of folks who also speak a great deal about working class in our society. And before it's over, you're going to have to tell us where you're going to be performing next and where can we get your music. But right now, we're going to listen to Working Class by Professor Louis.
What does it mean to be working class? Is that something from out of the past? Do we always gotta come in last? That's the question I'm gonna ask. What does it mean to be working class? 'Cause today you say you're middle class. You can't pay the doctor, your car needs gas. You're still paying off your college class. What you owe your credit card is never passed. Still you're middle class this, middle class that, or below a middle class. Till you eat your hat, got the gap on your back. You got a little fat, you're still paying for the chair where you just sat. Is it all over just like that? Who stole a good life? Where's it at? Or was middle class just a little dream made up for you on your TV screen, where everybody's comfy, or so it seems, and no one ever eats rice and beans? 'Cause in the beginning there was just two classes. There was the elite, there was the masses. We did the work, they kicked our asses. Most everything passes. There are still two classes: those who got it, those who don't. We think we're gonna get it, but really we won't. Those who own the companies and make the big deals, every deal could cost you a meal. And for real, not too many people hold the power. They make $1 million while they take a shower. There's the owning class and the working class. Where are you at? Are you slow or fast? All you got to do is do the math. If you got a job, you're working class. If you're out of a job, you're really working class. We build the houses, work the fields. We run the hospitals, we fix the meals. We make the family and work at home. Sometimes that's the hardest work of all. We clean the office, we teach the kids. Everything around us is something we did. laptop and smartphone, he's moving fast. It all depends, first and last, if he got a bodega or a little machine shop. He works for his money and he works a lot. He might be working for everything he got, but the guy who owns the corporation, he could work all day, it won't change him. He might be a nice guy, he might be a jerk. He makes his big money off of other people's work. You can't make millions going to work and get paid. You need other people's work to have it made. When we punch the clock, he owns the stock. We do the labor, he gets the flavor. We make the honey, but he takes the money. Cause working people make everything. We're the ones make the cash register ring. And when our work goes to someone else's profit, now you got it and you don't gotta ask. That's what makes us working class. And if I talk about class just a little more, your TV says we're starting class war. But the real news has come and gone. The class war is always on. It has been here since the day you were born. We just need to know whose side we're on. If we don't know our own class, take it from the poet. We'll always take a beating and we won't even know it. Cause your TV's programmed by the owning class. Your newspaper programmed by the owning class. Your search engine programmed by the owning class. If we don't know we're working class, the owning class will kick our ass. They get a real free pass. You get no health care, get lousy schools. The TV brings your kids up to act like fools. You got no union, you lose your job. You vote for politicians who think you're a slob. Cause we sometimes forget there's a bottom and a top. Those who got it and those who do not. Better to remember, make no mistake, you're not an owner, you're a worker. That's the breaks. And I bet there's nobody listening here who made $10 million just this year. So before I waste any more breath, before I talk myself to death, let me ask you to act on a fact that has come to pass. Your ass is in the working class. And before we get to another day, when we open our mouths with something to say, before you speak and the words are gone, it's good to know whose side you're on. And what it means to be working class, is that something from out of the past? Do we always got to come in last? That's the question we got to ask. What does it mean to be working class? And one last little question before I'm gone, tell me, whose side are you on?
Wow, that just resonates with me so much. Joining us on the program now are co-founders of People for a New Society, Lillian Herb. Coincidentally, they too are professors. PFANS advocates for a new cooperative society in which the means of production are owned, run, and administered by all of us, not a ruling elite hell-bent on profit before people and planet. So, PFANS, welcome to the program. What do you think about Professor Louis' working class?
Hi, Dave.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Herb.
Professor Louis.
Hey,
hi. Dave, how are you? Is Professor Louis on the air?
Yeah,
yes, he is.
Oh,
yes,
you're
he
here.
Is.
Professor Louis, this is Herb from People for a New Society, and just a wonderful song you've made up and created. It really hits the nail on the head about the class-divided society we live in. There's only two classes, the working class and the owner class, or the 99% and the 1%, and it's just a great song, and it really hits the nail on the head. You know, we talk about this class-divided society we're in. If you look at the media today, there's a myth out there that the working class is only, say, some low-wage worker who works in Walmart or works in a manual, menial job someplace. That's the working class. But as your song says, it includes all of us. We're all in the working class, no matter what our salary is, no matter what wage we earn. We have different levels of income, but we're all in the working class. And this is my partner here, Lilia. She's going to be co-hosting the show today. And Lilia, you're on.
Hi, Professor. Wow.
Hi.
That's just the best song I'm going to say the best song that I've ever heard that explains our real position here in society. So congratulations. I don't know how you did it, but it is a remarkable piece of work. So thanks a lot. Hope it gets
heard
by a lot of people.
And he has others. He has other songs. He has CDs filled with these, and they all just really hit the nail on the head. As Louis told me earlier, it's the truth.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Right.
And we don't recognize it. The majority don't recognize it because they've been told they're in the, not only they're not in the working class, but they're in the middle class or the upper middle class or the managerial class or the white collar class or the blue collar class and every other class except the working class, when the reality is they're all contributing to the product where it isn't going to them. Only a portion of what they produce is going to them, the value of what they produce. And we have yet still to devise a system where the full benefit of the production of this working class is 99% really comes back to them and to us. And so that's the dilemma we're in, and that's something that People for a New Society is trying to address. How do we create a system or a society that we can benefit and for all our labor that we all contribute to and in the production of goods and services in this country and world, how can we make a society that is equal, that is based on equality on all levels? So,
you know, there are venues, there are events and gatherings where people meet to talk about these very things. I was looking at the professor's bio, and it said that you were at the Left Forum this past summer. And I'm wondering who invited you and how was your experience there at the Left Forum, Professor?
Well, this last time, I wasn't the first. I was there a couple times, but this time they had a tribute to Pete Seeger.
Yeah,
and, they had quite a few really good performers. Emma's Revolution, which is Pat Humphries and Sandy O. Bev Grant was there. I don't know if I'm remembering. Oh, Bernardo Palombo was there. And they had, I'll say this. Let me just, offer this as far as the Left Forum goes. They had a tremendous event. There was tons of people, all kinds of things going on. But they did not advance, in my opinion, enough the cultural aspect. They had a show there that was a terrific show, but it was in a little room. It wasn't a big room, a little tiny little auditorium. And I know I saw the big auditorium. And people need to know that along with the fundamental economic change that happens as a means of organizing people and having people understand what's happening, you need a strong cultural component. There's no getting around it. It was very strong in the freedom movement of the South, which is the last really big movement in this country and which in reality spawned the supposed countercultural movement, the beatniks, the hippies, whatever, the hippies, and spawned the women's movement, the student movement, the peace movement, all of these kind of things. The largest and most effective of all of those movements of people, which were part of the same thing in many ways, was the one that had a very strong cultural component. Now, it's not the cultural component that changes the world, but it is an important part, and people should recognize it, and especially in organizing people and most especially young people, you need something that's attractive. You need something that people want to be a part of. You need something that where people feel, you know, for want of a better word, where people feel it's cool, you know, where this is what's happening. And culture is one of those things that brings it in. Not everybody is, you know, is going to want to participate in the theoretical or analytical part of what goes on. And it's not like all those parts and the nuts and bolts of organizing are not important. They're crucially important, and the economic foundation is the most important thing that has to change. However, the cultural part is a big part, and I would say that about the Left Forum, that they had a wonderful opportunity there. They had wonderful performers, some of whom I'm not even remembering right now. But they did not really push or promote that, and that is one of the elements that would give zest to everything that happens and also push the area of the imagination, because it is a great failure of imagination as well as culture that surrounds...
Well, you know, Professor Louie,
yeah.
If I can get in here for a second, of things. I think you're so absolutely right about the need to have more or less a paradigm shift so that the culture becomes really an expression of people's beliefs, their imagination, their mm-hmm. needs, and not just corporately produced. So, yeah, absolutely. And as far as the Left Forum, interesting, Herb and I were there presenting a workshop for People for a New Society, and we didn't get to attend your event. We were having to pay for the very expensive rooms in New York City, so we didn't get to see the entire presentation of the Left Forum. But ours was called Change the System, Yes, But to What? And that's really what our whole presentation had to do with. And I must say, we had a wonderful turnout and a wonderful discussion with those who were there. And what we did was not only have a discussion, you know, in terms of, you know, the analysis and the theoretical basis for changing society, but we also had a PowerPoint presentation, which, by the way, is available, and we can talk about that later. But our PowerPoint presentation really gave a visual model, and we can again talk about that further. But the idea of imagination, wow, that is so important, and it's something that has been really discouraged and manipulated into being only what the consumer is permitted to imagine. And so, yeah, we have to get way beyond the culture that's presented to us and really create our own culture. And, of course, the media, which is owned by the corporations, tries its best to marginalize that. You might call it a counterculture, but it's truly the real culture that's happening all around the country, all around the world. But not given the recognition that it exists. So I loved your song. I thought it was stupendous. And the lyrics, so complete in the way it explains our feelings, our needs. So, yeah, we need more of that. So, yeah, culture, very important, absolutely, and people's culture.
We're going to be dependent upon not the corporate media, because they'll have nothing to do with this. We're going to have to depend upon independent media, whether it's television, whether it's radio, whether it's blog talk radio, whether it's written. I mean, the idea of having newspapers distributed, you know, with the written word, I try to include music in the programs. music was so very important around the protests of the Vietnam War, and
yep.
You know, that was before corporate media had its hooks into all of the performing artists. I know that
right.
that Professor Louis, when he produces CDs, it's on an independent label, and
yeah,
he markets.
Good.
He gets them out himself, and you know, people who do this really have to be congratulated. They really
yeah,
have to be
absolutely.
Congratulated. So what do? So we know that there are huge systemic problems. We know that there
right.
are pockets of people who are discussing alternatives. You know, there are many noted economists who attend these events. I know that, we were down at Occupy in Washington, D.C. We were in the Democracy Convention in Madison, Wisconsin. There are people talking about alternatives, but it's
right.
really not getting a lot of traction outside of those who are doing the heavy lifting. So what
yep.
do we do? What do we do?
Well, one of the realities is, Dave, when the conditions that capitalism produces really become so blatantly against all intelligent, rational thinking, when we're making an environment that is making us sick, when we are trying our best to be humane and decent, but the values of competitive capitalism really works against those impulses and those desires. One of the important things that has happened since, I'm going to put the date 2011, because when Occupy kind of burst on the scene, it revealed what was underneath all of these years of people complaining, noting the inequities, being felt, being left out of things. It kind of galvanized a critique. The critique was very often not totally understood in terms of a way forward. And I think that's something that Occupy has been dealing with. How do you move from protest to real change? So what People for a New Society has tried to include in the conversation whenever and wherever we can, in those forums that you mentioned, Dave, we were up at Amherst College, Massachusetts University there, again, talking with interested people. But people who, again, are kind of stuck in an old paradigm, and the old paradigm is to be wary of politics because they connect politics with the Democrats and the Republicans, which, of course, represents, you know, an oligarchic corruption and a faux democracy. But that doesn't mean that we don't need in the next years to develop a real people's political process. And we're capable of that now. We really are. We're able to, as you say, the blog radio forum, all sorts of internet connections, all sorts that really enable us to organize at the grassroots level, but also get our discussions way far away from just the local, and we talk about all of the issues that the various communities face, the various problems that we face. So I think
that's very, very difficult to accomplish when people
yeah.
who are in the working class or who need a job and they're
yeah.
worried about paying the electric bill, putting food on the table, putting their kids
sure.
into school and handling their debt and dealing with all types of divisive practices that the corporations are inflicting upon us to make our daily lives.
Absolutely.
I mean, who wants to spend 2 hours on the phone complaining about, you know, your cable bill or your electric
yeah.
bill or something that has been, you know, done incorrectly? That really takes away from organizing with your friends and your neighbors. And
yeah,
it's
right,
a hard fight.
Working people are really divided against themselves, because there are these problems that we each individually around the kitchen table face. And then there's these larger issues that a community, a state, a region, a nation, a globe face. And the idea that, you know, people can give so much energy to working 40, 50, 60, 70-hour weeks, if they're lucky enough to have a job.
Right.
It's asking a great deal from people. And, of course, it's very difficult for people to give that other part of their life to organizing or being participating in, you know, in protests or developing political parties. But I will say, the idea that politics does still represent a peaceful way of educating, reaching people, talking about issues, making sure that everyone's included in the conversation, these things are still available and, more importantly, accessible to people every day. So the vote, the ballot, really does represent a very doable way to change society. So that, I'll just leave it at that, but I absolutely understand, and man, do I understand the complexity of 21st century life and the pressures and stresses that are put on people trying to raise families, trying to put a roof over their heads and their children's heads, and worrying about college and the job market and what lies ahead. Absolutely terrible problems that human beings should not and need not be burdened by. So we have to kind of keep our conversation going, and hopefully more people will be able to join in, and that's really the hope.
Well,
you know,
I'm going to ask Professor Louis, can you how are you doing on time, sir?
I'm probably around till 11:30, or you know, a little past that, or something. If I, you know, that's.
I would like to play another one of your pieces, Corporate Power, and maybe we can talk about that a little bit. Would that be okay with everyone?
It's okay,
yeah,
with me.
Great.
Love to hear it.
Where does all the money go? Check your pockets. You ain't got no dough, no matter what you do or what you know. Tell me where the money goes. I know you feel politicians steal. That's for real, but what's the real deal? They're making money at our expense, trying to take a dollar out of 50 cents. To president, to Congress, bought and sold. That's old, it's cold, but who paid the toll? It cost millions of dollars to get elected. Who got selected? Who was rejected? The big corporations paid the campaign. They don't put their money down the drain. They paid the Republican, they paid the Democrat. Don't matter who wins, they like it like that. It's corporate power, hour, hour after hour, where you sleep deep in your ivory tower. They're taking all the money that once was ours. It's all gone, John, to corporate power. So now the politician, through and through, he'll do what the corporation wants him to, cause now he's got a corporate agenda. Make, break, and take and bend you like a bad joke, till the government's broke everywhere, cause the big corporations won't pay their share of taxes. The maxes for some, they do a whole year of business and don't pay none. That's not profit, it's capital gains. While you feel the pain, you're out in the rain. They get tax abatements, government contracts, humongous loopholes. You know the facts, cause when you got to pay, hey, what the heck? They already took the money out of your check. It's corporate power, hour, hour, and hour. While you sleep deep in your ivory tower, they're taking all the money that once was ours. It's all gone, John, to corporate. operate for. So these politicians got no shame, but just the same, they need someone to blame. So they blame the immigrant trying to make a buck, blame the lady on welfare, down on her luck. They blame the junkie, deny the bail, but corporations make money off the people in jail. They blame the unions, cut them down to size. They don't like workers who get organized. They blame Africa, China, taking jobs from you, but they work for Nike in China too. They blame terror, Osama bin Laden. His money's from the same companies as them. And the biggest blame you're ever gonna see, that's Home Alone with your TV, cause your TV news, it gives you the blues. They just ooze with the views of the big corporations. No complication to the explanation of the situation. The corporation owns the station, and they tell you who to blame for the pain, but they never really name where the pain came from. Corporate power, hour, hour after hour, where you sleep deep in your ivory tower. They're taking all the money that once was ours. It's all gone, John, to corporate power. So corporate profits were on fire. The stock market, it was higher and higher. The economy, it was real, real good. Of course, you never saw it in your neighborhood, because so many people lost their jobs. The company sobbed, they turned the doorknob. We're sorry, slob, sad but true. We're doing so good that we don't need you. Ding-a-ling, cause every damn thing all across the nation, it's all owned by the same corporation. They own the drug company, the hospital too. Managed care owns the doctor looking at you. They make money from guns, money from prison, money from insurance, money from the collision. They sell your cosmetics for your last dime. Designer clothes, their name is the design. Charge you $4 for a gallon of gas. Sell you plastic surgery and cut your ass. They're in South America, Africa, Asia. Those sneakers on your feet, they're from Malaysia. Cause these big companies are worldwide. Push, pushing in the bush, everybody aside. And the biggest ones got this special situation. They hide inside your TV station. Commercials for cars, commercials for beer. Every minute of the day, every second of the year. General Motors, Budweiser, AT&T, they're the friendly faces on your TV, cause they make your enemy look like your friend. Don't bend, they'll shaft you in the end, cause it ain't about friends, it's all about money. And the ones who got it, they're not funny, sonny. Million billionaires, where the money goes. Millions on clothes, private shows, millions and millions up somebody's nose. And they own the government head to toes, cause when a politician leaves the government, he knows where he goes, he don't need a hint. He sits on the board of the big corporations, going back and forth like changing stations, from government to business, back for more, round, round and round, the revolving door. So you see, the whole society, it is not made for you and me. Stop, look, and listen. Stop, bottom to top. It's corporate power that calls the shots. And the president, the Congress, who run the nation, they're just front men for the big corporation. It's corporate power, hour, hour, and hour. When you sleep deep in your ivory tower, they're taking all the money that once was ours. It's all gone, John, to corporate power. So there's a lot to do for me and you. This world keeps turning, it is never through. Free your mind, clear your brain. The pain is when we stay the same. Of course, you know we love this corporate stuff. Cars, VCRs, it's never enough. And that's rough, cause it's tough to change. Sad but true, they got you loving the hand beating on you. And maybe, baby, we will all wake up, analyze, get wise. Enough is enough, cause when we are together, I could tell y'all, the bigger they come, the harder they fall. And quiet as it's kept, it ain't no joke. This world belongs to the regular folks, but we got to get up and get what's ours and take a bite tonight of these corporate powers. It's corporate power, hour, hour after hour. They get the sweet, or we get the sour, or we get the weeds, they get the flower. It's a private airplane calling the tower. They're down in the jacuzzi instead of the shower, taking all the money that once was ours. It's all gone, John, to corporate power.
Oh,
Professor Louie. What album is that from?
That's from an album called Hurricane.
Where can we get your music?
You can get it from Free Brooklyn Now at 399 14th Street. That's 14th Street, Brooklyn, New York, 11215. Or you could call up at 718-768-8728. And I'll say that twice, because you know when you hear it.
I'm gonna write it down. I'm gonna put that on the homepage for the radio program.
Cool.
So everyone will be able to go there and get it. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. It really is like being in school. It's like being in school.
Right.
You really have to listen.
I hope it's better than that.
School of
Time. That was terrific. You know, we were talking a little bit about the difficulties that all of us face, the whole working class and making changes. We're all working. We're stressed out in all levels. And I guess that's why they call it the class struggle. Whoever gave it that term was correct. It is a struggle, and we just have to do what we each can do, and it might not be everything, but, you know, Professor Louie, he writes songs that are class conscious and very aware of all the problems, and other people do other things, and we here at PFANS, or People for a New Society, our mission is to sort of look at different ways we could organize ourselves to have a more equitable and rational and sane society. And, you know, even corporations, as the song says, they didn't exist in their form that they are today 200 years ago or 100. They evolved as capitalism evolved into a very powerful entity. And there's nothing written down in stone that they're preventing a new kind of organization from occurring, one where the majority of us control the means of production and operate the factories, mills, mines, and everything else that we all need, and participate in the decision making of the products and how they're going to be used and et cetera, et cetera. And so corporations have evolved, and we can evolve to a higher plane, if we will, a more democratically organized society where the means of production and all the decision-making is with us, the 99%, the working class.
That sounds ideal.
Yes.
But the capitalist class, the corporate class, they're not going to sit still and simply let this happen. No rulers have ever willingly given away their power. So you're right. We are going to have to use the ballot. We are going to have to use the Constitution's amendment clause to make illegal crimes against society. And I think crimes against society would include, you know, what we're doing today. Look at how we're extracting energy, you know, from the earth, instead of using the sun and the wind and the water power, which is there, it's just there for us. You know, we're pulling this crap out of the ground. We're putting it into our water, into our air, and it's you know, we're creating all types of irreversible problems, and it's just insane.
I just finished Naomi Klein's This Changes Everything, and the subtitle is what really caught my eye, Capitalism versus the Climate. And she makes a very clear case for the need to recognize what is at stake, but also what are the causes of these devastating practices that are being decided by distant elite corporate powers that take nothing into account except profit. and he calls it extreme extraction. But these problems are truly devastating to us as a human race, as a planet. And the only way we are going to be able to get control of these problems and find good solutions is for us to be cooperatively organized in a society where the government, both of the economic sphere as well as the worksite sphere, those two parts of our lives are connected, they interchange information, they discuss best solutions, they talk about alternatives. And without really a diametrically changed option, which again is the model that we propose.
That model is visible if you visit www.peopleforanewsociety.org.
And
right.
The other thing I just want to interject here is the notion that we must transition into this new society. It's not going to come about in one day or because of one protest. It's going to have to take a transitional movement on the part of people, a consciousness that we can build a new society peacefully, and if you will, using Gar Alperovitz's ideas, Professor Richard Wolff's ideas, and many others that have been around for years, but possible now, possible for the first time.
Well, we're not going to get there
if we continue. We're
not going to get there if we continue each voting cycle voting for the lesser of two evils. We
right.
have to introduce
Absolutely.
New ideas, not
right.
not old ideas, but new ideas. So who's going to champion
right.
that? Who's going
yeah.
to be the People's Party? Who's going to be the new Labor
right.
Party? Who's going to be
right.
the new Green Party? Who? Where
right.
are they going to come from?
Yeah.
You know,
well,
the schools. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Excuse me. I think they're going to come from the working class. They're going to have to. They're going to have to when people get so fed up with the irrationality of capitalism. Actually, capitalism and competition, they're limiting our solutions. We have not yet had the ability to unleash the power of production for people. It's been limited through just for profit for a few, and so the capability of producing an abundance has never really been realized, and yet it exists today. We have the technology to manage this, run it in a equal way, where everyone is included in the process and benefit from this.
One of the problems. One of the problems that I see is that the schools, the higher education that we have, they're largely corporate cheerleaders. The,
right.
the students of economics, the students of science in particular, they are reading materials that are handpicked, cherry picked by corporate think
yep.
tanks, saying this is
yep.
the system, this is how we want to protect and prolong the system, so all of your energies are going to have to be toward that end. There's no thinking
right.
outside the box. And that's where that's a problem that we have. We had a show last
yeah.
week on chemtrails, the toxins that are being pumped into the atmosphere for whatever reason, crowd control, behavior,
yeah,
manipulation, weather. The reality is that I know a few scientists and meteorologists, and they so poo-poo the idea, that anything
yeah.
is being introduced. And,
yeah.
Then you look back, well, where did he go to school? Where did she go to school? And then you look at
yeah.
their funding sources, and they're funded by petroleum mm-hmm. companies and energy companies. So they're not going to be teaching about, how to go out and build a solar panel in your spare time. They're going to be talking about you know, you really have to tip your hat to the system. You know, the capitalist system, they are really brilliant, you know, in a way.
They are
killing they're killing us, you know, but this is why
with a smile.
In my view,
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, we're up in Massachusetts, and where we face a specific issue, you know, 30 miles away is a nuclear waste dump produced by a nuclear energy plant that is located on a water source. It's polluting air, soil, food, and yet the science doesn't back it up from the big, the big grant-funded research groups, universities. We have a lot of science to back up the truth, but it doesn't get the same recognition as these big university and corporate and government-funded research groups do. So, yeah, Dave, the mechanisms that have been put in place are so deep, and we really have to, you know, it's hard sometimes to be a happy, optimistic person, but I think on the other hand, what gives me optimism, what gives me hope is people. There are, you might say, unseen, you might say unreported, unknown,
under the radar,
all across the country, and they are being given energy by ordinary people, and they're there.
Well,
there's millions and millions of us, and that's what gives me hope. I don't listen to the major media. Yeah,
I have to tell you that listening to Professor Louis's music has recharged my batteries. It has energized me to realize there are more people out there who are speaking the truth, and we need to get these people together, and we need to really broadcast their message. And I'm looking at the clock, and I know Louis has things to do. So, Lou, I'm going to say I want to thank you so very, very much for allowing me to play your music and to listen to your music and listen to you. And it's just a remarkable body of work that you have. And
hey, thanks a lot, Dave.
I thank you so much, and I hope that you will join us again.
Yeah, sure. Give me a call, and all power to you guys. You know, I hope you do very well. I would say that it is really true that the underlying fact that's in the favor of all of us is people's humanity, and we have to reach people in that place where you know, where they're human, and also struggle to find the language that communicates with people, because we are in a situation where everybody is pretty much surrounded by lies. You know, it's okay to call it just cultural crap, or you know, if I could use a bad word, bullshit. But it's basically what all that means is it's lies. You put on your TV for 5 minutes and you saw nine lies, you know, because you saw a couple of commercials for sure. And that's, you know, among the biggest of the lies. And so, you know, we have to struggle for the language that people can hear, and, you know, talking to people right in the place where they're human, and the reality is, as I think you guys said along the way, that just a basic sense of fairness in anybody kind of makes them a radical in American society today, and that's the place that we need to talk to people and approach people, and good for you guys for doing it, and I'm gone, so
thanks a lot for all your efforts, and we enjoyed it.
And let's talk again.
I'll be in touch, Professor. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
quite inspiring, Dave. Professor Louis's work. You know, he really hits the nail on the head.
The sad part that I see is that he really doesn't get his work out there through social media or websites.
Uh-huh.
He's truly an independent guy, and you know, we really need to broadcast his material.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah. Well, you're doing that. So.
You listen.
Well,
you listen to him. He so incorporates, you know, what we're all thinking, what we're all, you know, worrying about, but he articulates this, and that really paves the way for a nice PFANS discussion.
And you know, he also has a great beat. I sit here in my chair. You can dance to it. I sit here in my chair just go rocking with that rhythm. I mean, he just does it.
I meant to compliment his drummer. His drummer and his bass player, man, they were just spot on, and I meant to tell him that. But,
they were wonderful.
And I will. What's next for PFANS? What are we doing?
Well, I'll jump in here for a second. One of the things that we continue to do, Dave, is try our best to reach out in every way we can. Email, phone calls, letters. We're reaching out as much as we possibly can to other groups, political parties, for example, the Green Party, talking with people. Well, we talk on our end, but we don't get a whole lot of discussion, unfortunately. But, Bernie Sanders. I mean, there are voices out there that could very, very well represent so much of the anxieties that people are concerned with. And we feel that, you know, we talk with Gar and we talk with Rick Wolf, and we try very, very hard to reach out. We're constantly reading. I mean, there are so many books. I have a stack because I thought, I'll put a stack up here so I can remember the names and the authors. Jeremy Rifkin, his latest book, Zero Marginal Cost Society. A wonderful explanation of why we not only can have an entirely new cooperative society and economy, but we must. We are at a point where we have to take and hold the very things that we've created, the innovations, the technology. We have to make it work for ourselves because profit is killing us. You know, using that as a reason for making decisions may have worked before the entire planet was being involved. But at this point, we have to make decisions very rationally. We have to be careful. We have to be mindful. We have to be respectful. We have to be loving.
Only the working class.
And only the working class, the people who, you know, who really do all the work. We do all the deciding in terms of our everyday output. We cooperate every day. But when it comes to making the big decisions, we're left out. We have no voice whatsoever. So what we are trying all the time to do is to get our DVD out, to get our presentations out. I think it's just imperative. I began by talking about some titles of books that I could recommend. Jeremy Rifkin's Zero Marginal Cost Society. Juliet Shore, who's the University of Massachusetts professor, she wrote Plenitude, which has to do with work time, how we work so many hours, those of us who are permitted to have a job and an income. Yet, we can't live that way. We can't have families that way. So she is advocating to cut the work week. Well, the Green Party does also. Then there's Garel Perovitz's What Then Must We Do? And then there's Democracy at Work, A Cure for Capitalism by Richard Wolff. Naomi Klein's latest, you know, This Changes Everything. But the books are out there. Michael Alpert's Paracon. I mean, there are ideas out there and books to read and YouTubes to look at, wonderful interviews. So it's just a matter of us as the People for a New Society having the the energy and the capacity to reach people as quickly as we can, because we feel this next decade is going to be a very important one in terms of making these shifts begin.
Well, we're reaching an environmental tipping point.
Yes.
For sure. You know, so that's going to impact, you know, the urgency. And revolution is coming one
yes.
way or another. And let's hope
yes.
that the people who are articulating now about a peaceful revolution, about moving
right.
into an economic democracy rather than blatant fascism.
Right.
We hope that the good guys will prevail. And
yeah.
history has shown that that can happen. And
right.
and we need to look back at history and say,
right.
you know, we can do this. There was a time when kings and queens rule was absolute, and now
right.
we don't have that. There was
That's
a time
right.
when we had our economy was based upon, you know, slavery, you know, and to a degree
right.
it still is, but you know, we abolished that institution, and we can
right.
abolish things again. And
well, we say we abolish chattel slavery, that is the ownership of a person.
Mm-hmm.
But we can also now begin to abolish wage slavery, which is really renting a person. So we can abolish those things that are interfering with a good life, with a good, healthy life. But we have
to do it
peacefully. Yep. And we have to have some vision of where we're going to go, because without the vision, a model, it can be very easily sideswiped by fascist ideas, which have taken hold in previous times.
Which is, you know, when you're running a business,
yeah.
one of the first orders of business before you go into something new is to develop a business plan. And that
right.
plan is a roadmap, and that plan is always open to assessments and revisions and changes. And that's
right.
What struck me about looking at your model, a green print for a new society, is that it was so comprehensive. It really took into consideration every facet that we know of today, and it allowed for things that we don't know about, so that
right.
we can adjust, much like our Constitution. They call it a living Constitution. So that
right.
model, that model for a new society, which is, it's not rigid. It's there for consideration. We need a starting point. Every map has, it says, you are here.
Right.
Right.
Well, right.
And
we're,
know,
in the shitter. We're in the shitter right now, so we need to move forward.
Right.
As I like to say, Dave, excuse me, as I like to say, you need a plan to deviate from. And that's what we're trying to, we're trying to create an idea where we can even deviate from. I mean, as we get more input and more ideas and so on. But the thing is to start somewhere, and it can be modified. There's nothing written in stone, but it's a work in progress. But everything in life is a work in progress.
Well, you know, one of the things that happened with that left forum that we found was so interesting. There were enough people there who had kind of come to the conclusion that capitalism is really the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started talking about how we could organize in different ways, you know, and we looked at our model. And it was remarkable how people latched on immediately to these very basic, simple ideas about how we would gather together to make decisions, how we would discuss things, how we could interchange using technology, you know, internet and all sorts
how
of, you know.
How we get paid.
How we, well, how, yeah, and how we would make best decisions, how the needs would come from the community, and then the production would satisfy those needs. I mean, it was remarkable to me how really accessible the ideas of cooperative commonwealth are to most people once they've given themselves an opportunity to let go of this absolute magical thinking that capitalism, which has produced all the problems, is going to somehow just become a nice guy. And, you know, once you get past that myth, it really allows, as Professor Louis was saying, it allows for imagination to grow. And we
right.
do need to reignite our imagination.
And we have a lot yeah. of, we've produced some great thinkers, and there are so many
Absolutely.
People who we haven't even heard from who are,
right.
you know, brilliant in their own right, and they really need to make their ideas known. And,
yes.
You know,
well, you're helping.
yeah. One of the things I got from, I think it was the Madison, Wisconsin.
Democracy
convention. Yeah.
Yeah, was when Gar Parvitz was talking, and he said what we need now are system designers. And that's sort of how what we AP fans look at ourselves right now. We're kind of taking all the elements of what's working and what isn't working and trying to narrow it down to a workable, humane system. And how would it function? How do we get paid in that? How do we really live in a new society? What would it curtail? What would it be like? Who would be in control, or who would be, you know, all these questions that people have. You know, one of the reasons I think that we don't have change happening more rapidly is people are frightened as to the unknown, I guess. You know, they're not going to go rush and jump off a cliff just because someone says there's a better society, a better model out there. They've got to come to a realization that their lives have hit a brick wall, and there's no way out, so to speak, and so they're going to start looking around for something. Let's hope they look towards a democratic model rather than a state model of nationalistic, fascistic model, which they did in Germany in the 30s. That was the working class in action, but they went and followed a charlatan instead of themselves. They believed in a strong leader that was more powerful than themselves organizing and managing and running the society for themselves. And that takes a leap. That takes a leap of imagination, because we're used to the leader telling us what to do. And in a new society, we're going to have to be the leaders ourselves, and we just have to organize ourselves so we can do that effectively and without too much pain and trouble.
The corporate media has really painted many of the alternatives, the favorable alternatives. You were using the word democracy. We don't know what democracy. You know, we certainly don't have it here.
Right.
But these alternatives have been painted by corporate media in brilliant campaigns as the boogeyman.
Yeah.
You were talking about the fear of the unknown. Well, truth be told, the fear of the unknown is, you know, what are they going to do to us tomorrow? You know, that's the unknown.
Right.
You know, we don't know what. But, you know, this looks like a good stopping point for our conversation.
Okay.
And say I would really like to explore the PFANS model in depth. And perhaps.
So would we.
Perhaps,
that'd be great. Yeah.
Perhaps we could do that in the near future, because you know, we can put together a nice program and bundle it,
okay.
and we can distribute it to organizations who are wanting to talk and open the lines up for questions, and reach some
that
people.
That would be wonderful.
But I think
that'd be great, Dave, and you're doing a terrific job with your show, and you're having great guests on. I mean, not us, but Professor Louis and everybody. So thank you for all your efforts.
And you know, next week we're having Jill Stein next week, so
yeah.
she'll be on.
That's great.
It should be.
Yeah, and I was just going to add that your show so far. And I'm certain that it's going to only grow, but your show so far is really a unique opportunity for unfiltered, alternative, honest discussion about what people really in their heart, in their soul, in their minds, in their dreams want for themselves and also for their children and for their grandchildren. So I thank you, Dave, for...
Well, that's very kind of you to say.
It's been wonderful listening to your program. So we'll continue listening, and thank you for having us. And, yep, we will hopefully get on with you again.
We will talk again. I thank you so much for joining us today. Lives in the Balance Sheet, thanks you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, I want to thank Lily and Herb, co-founders of People for a New Society. They really didn't talk about it, its history, but it had its genesis, 40 or 50 years ago. And they've been working on it and getting their message out. And it's difficult when you're working, 50, 60, 70 hours a week and you're raising a family and you want to, expand upon ideas. So I'm very fortunate to have them, and Professor Louis I'm going to go and listen to his music some more. But I want to thank you all for listening, and please call in if you have any questions, or you can email me if you have any suggestions for topics. And I'm going to close the program, as I usually do, with a good friend's music. It's called For the 99. Good night.
This is For the 99. We are the 99, refugees of a grand design, victims of one and the same party line. We need to give chase to the space they occupy. Hey, we're doing swell. See how we work like hell. All for the minimum wage. See how we struggle in the brave new age. Hey, Mr. Union Man, where have you gone? What the hell? Let's make a stand against the greedy cooperative. They took our train, ran it right into the ditch. Ain't it a bitch? Time to pull the switch. Hey, how'd you get to be so rich, Mr. Congressman? Who do you represent? Is it the 1% who pays the rent, attends every event with a political bent that's over the top? And who will arrange your next photo op? And when they tell you trying to sell you somebody's vision of a dream. Oh, 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 somebody's vision of a dream. Somebody's vision of a dream. And you're like a nightmare. Makes us want to dream. It's a jungle out there. Give me my Medicare. Give it to me now, once and for all. If we got to get our backs from up against the wall. It's all been a show, and now you gotta go. You gotta listen when history tells you so. That's when the people lead, the leaders will follow. There's nothing to confuse. won't hear us sounding on the fair and ballad blues. Cause when they tell you, they're really trying to tell you somebody's vision of a dream. Oh, oh, somebody's vision of a dream. Some screwed up version of a dream. Or like a nightmare makes us want to scream. We are the 99. It's a spirit, it's a state of mind.